I'm glad I've got his sunlight within. Amen. All along the way, God's sunlight be flooding our soul with glory divine. I want to bless his wonderful name. Well, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading tonight in the message, and I do hope you'll bear with me. As I read through it, I'll try to make some comments. The reading is a whole lot more than what the outline is when I get to it. And so I trust that you'll pray for me and bear with me. And if God will let me make a few comments along the way, why, it'd be a real blessing to us. All right. Sometimes you come in, the crowd's small, and everybody's not here, and you wish they were. And you got a little inclination, you know, just to pray and lead in silent prayer and go to the house. But I don't think we're going to do that. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter number 1. Brother Doug sang a lot of songs tonight and about sunlight, of God's love, and about joy, about happiness. The ladies, both ladies sang tonight wonderful songs about the good grace and love and joy of our Lord. And I think about every song that was sang tonight goes right along with what I'm going to be preaching on. Hope I'll be preaching on it. We'll see here in just a few minutes. All right. 1 John and chapter number 1 in your Bible. John said in verse number 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of God on this night. I thank you, Lord, that while we've been here, the lights haven't even flickered. I'm grateful for that. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your people that made their way out to the house of God. And I appreciate, Lord, the privilege that we have to assemble together and worship God in spirit and in truth. I pray, Lord, your power upon the message. May the Spirit of God grant that gracious liberty that we need tonight. And certainly, Lord, I need divine help. Without God, I can do nothing in my own or on my own. So I pray the Spirit of God would fill me with grace and glory and great wisdom tonight. And bless me, I pray, if there's those amongst us without Christ that'd be saved. Those of God's people that need help, need stirring in their heart, need reviving, I pray you'd do that accordingly. Those that are afflicted, those that are sick, those that we prayed for tonight, I pray you'd look upon them in a special way. Give grace to those that are not in our midst tonight, especially those that are out of town and traveling. And again, I pray for liberty and power to preach and help from God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you again now, and you may be seated. Again, I want to read verse number 4 tonight in our text that I read, where John says here that, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And by the help of God, I want to preach again tonight. The last time I preached out of this book, I preached on our full joy. And John writes here that one of the reasons he's writing to this these believers is that they may have that full joy. And so I want to preach again tonight on part 2, if I can put it that way, on our full joy. I think a common desire that really regulated all of the apostles of Christ was to promote the glory of their master and the good of all of God's people. I think that ought to be one of our prerequisites in the house of God today for men of God, is to promote the glory of God. Yeah. We're here tonight not because of ourselves, but we're here tonight to give honor to Him that loved us and died for us. We're here to glorify our God. In fact, everything that we do in life ought to be done to honor and to glorify our Lord. And the more I read the Bible, the more I realize that all of the apostles and all of the writers in the Word of God had that same common desire, and that was to promote the glory of God and then the good of God's people. You may not believe this tonight, but the Lord wants you to live a good life. And God wants you to have divine joy. God wants you to have joy in your Christian life. I'm confident of that, of what I'm saying. I don't have to take anybody else's word for it. The Bible is clear about that when John said, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now, we might have some joy. We might have a little joy, some joy, but John said that your joy may be full. He didn't want us just to have a little bit of the joy of the Lord, but He wanted our hearts and our lives to be full of the joy of the Lord. These two things are inseparably connected. You cannot separate the glory of God and the goodness to God's, or good things to God's people. If God's glory is upon us, we are bound to enjoy the good things of the Lord. I'm amazed at the songs that we're singing tonight, really. Such a little crowd, and yet God knew before the foundation of the world who would be here tonight. Now, some of you may not believe that, but I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe the omniscience of God. God knew who would be here tonight. And all the songs that were sung tonight are a marvel to me in my heart. I mean, everything that was sung had to do with something about the joy of the Lord working, or the grace of God working in our hearts to bless and help us and to bring good things to God's people. And by the way, the reason God brings good things to us is because, like the lady sang, God's good. If you don't believe me, read Psalm 27. The Lord is good. And there's no doubt about that. In fact, Billy Kelly said He's better than that, and I believe that. God is good tonight. And if Sammy was here, used to be a Sturgis, he'd tell you how good God was. Sammy used to talk about how good the Lord was. Now listen carefully. They themselves, I'm talking about the writers, I'm talking about John primarily, they had themselves experienced the unspeakable blessing and blessedness of the intimate fellowship with Christ and the bliss that accompanies it. I can say amen and hallelujah to God there. John is writing from experience. I've already preached on that, I believe. He is writing from experience. He had already experienced the blessedness and the bliss that comes from living a life with the Lord. He had already experienced that. Therefore, he longed that their fellow saints should, according to their message, freely and fully participate in the same. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, why do you preach on having joy all the time?" I'm going to tell you why. It's because I want you to have what I know that I've experienced. I got in on something a few years ago, folks, that I cannot explain to you. And the reason I harp all the time on the joy of the Lord and being happy in God and being blessed by the Lord is because I have experienced that in my own life. And I don't preach this to you just to be trying to fill up space. I have got a longing in my heart that you enjoy your marriages,
that you enjoy your families, that you enjoy your children and grandchildren, and enjoy coming to the house of God. And enjoy reading your Bible, and enjoy praying, and enjoy having fellowship and relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe John writes that, he said in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That tells me that, and I believe the us he's talking about there is him and the Lord. Now you may not believe that, but I do. That you may have fellowship with us. John said, I'm enjoying what I'm having with the Lord, and I want you to enjoy what the Lord and I are enjoying in our life. Amen. That you may have fellowship with us. And I want you to be on the same level that I'm on. I want you to be able to rejoice with Brother Hall. I mean, when the song service gets good, I'd like for everybody to get good. Amen. Not shame everybody don't get good, but I've got a longing in my heart that you would, because, hey, I've been around long enough to know that you are missing the blessings of the Lord by not enjoying the service in the house of God. Yes. Folks, we can do one or two things. We can either come to church dragging our lips and leave dragging our lips, or we can come to church and leave knowing that we've been in the house of God and in the presence of our Lord, rejoicing in what God has done for us. Yes. John said these things, I'm writing to you now, that your joy may be full. They desired that their converts should be bright and buoyant Christians whose hearts would rise above the trials and the troubles of life. Isn't that an amazing thing? I'm telling you, we let our trials and our troubles get us down, don't we?
Yes.
Somebody just say amen, you know I'm right. We're all made of clay. We've all got clay feet, ladies and gentlemen, including Brother Hall. And when things are not going according to the way we want them to go, and they seem to be troubles that we cannot get around or over or above, I'm telling you, they have a way of weighting us down. But John said there is a joy that can lift you above those troubles and trials of your life, and they'll just be waves under your feet if you'll ever get in fellowship and communion with the Lord where you ought to be. And I'm going to tell you, that's the gist of it all, is fellowship and communion with God. Now I'm telling you, if you're not reading your Bible, and if you're not praying, and if you're not fellowshipping with the Lord, you cannot expect to rise above the troubles of life that seem to beset so many of God's people. You know I'm telling it right. Amen. That's right. Now, rejoicing in the Lord, finding their satisfying and everlasting portion in Him. I'm going to ask you tonight, what satisfies you? What is your portion in this life? I'm going to tell you, I find great joy with a King James Bible in my hand and a place to read it in quietness. I enjoy a time and a season to sit down and talk to my Lord. Amen. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Help me out. I find that satisfied. Amen. A lot of men find various things in the world satisfied. But thank God, hey, as God's children, if we'll learn that the Lord is our portion in this life, and He filleth all things in Him, God can fill up that vapor in your life, that void in your life, that emptiness in your life, amen, that sin has left there. God is able to take that sin, remove that void, remove that vanity of life, and fill it with great joy. Hallelujah. You know why? Because He fills it with Himself.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what the Bible said about Jesus. Somebody said, oh, Jesus didn't act like that. I'm going to tell you what the Bible said. God said, I have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Amen. You think Jesus went around? You think Jesus went around dragging a lower lip? Somebody said, "Oh, but he was God." Yeah, but we're God's children.
Amen.
We dine from His table. we dine on the dainties of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We're like Mephibosheth. We might be crippled on both feet, but thank God we can come to the house of God or in a closet somewhere with a Bible in our hand and dine on the food that Bible has prepared for us. Amen. And feast on what the Holy Ghost, amen, reveals to us about the Lord. Let me ask you something. When was the last time the Holy Ghost revealed something new to you about Jesus? That's the problem. Buddy, I'm telling you, God has, the Holy Ghost has got to reveal Christ to you and I. To unveil Him to you and I. Somebody said, "Oh, I know everything there is to know. I know that He died. I know that He rose. I know He went back to heaven. He's coming again." Praise God, that's all I need to know. If that's all you know, you're in bad shape. I'm talking about in a personal way. When I first saw my wife on Man Avenue back in December of 1966, I said, "But I'm going to tell you something. After we got married and began to live with one another," now I'm not talking about something that's out of order. I'm just simply saying that God began to reveal her beauty to me in more ways than one. The way she would smile. Or the way she looked at me at times. Amen. The things that she did for me. I mean, cooking. I mean, God began to reveal her heart to me. And when I began to say, "Hey, it's her heart, ladies and gentlemen. It's the heart of our loved ones that God wants us to see and understand." I'm going to tell you, and it is the heart of God that the Holy Ghost wants you and I to see and to understand. And if we can ever get into the heart of God, I'm telling you, it is a vast area of nothing but joy and bliss. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory to be in the heart of God, amen, and realize just how good God is.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that right? Leroy said amen.
Amen.
Praise God, Leroy says amen. We're right. Leroy said amen. The dike out front held. No water in the building. Huh? And the missions are paid. Praise God. We're doing good. Now, they knew they must set the personal perfections and lordship of Christ as an example before their people. That's what I hope I've done to you, is set the perfections of Christ and His lordship before you. Hey, we serve a perfect God.
Amen.
Therefore, He can issue nothing out to you and I but that which is perfect.
Amen.
Hey, that's right. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. A perfect God. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That tells me God's not changed. And if He gave John good things, He's got good things for you and I today. That's why every perfect gift that God has, every gift He gives, brother, is a perfect gift. He can't do anything any less than that.
Right.
He's God. He's God. Thank you, brother. And the lordship of Christ. And I've tried to put that as an example to you. Hey, I've told you He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all.
Right.
Somebody said, "Well, there's a whole lot of things I ain't surrendered." Well, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. If there's something you holding on to a sin in your life, you hadn't give up, and He's told you it's sin, one or two things. You're either under chastisement or you're lost. If you're not under the chastening hand of God, you're lost. Brother Thompson says, come on in the house. That's an absolute fact. He's Lord. He's Lord. And they knew that only by means of spiritual knowledge of His excellency and maintaining a close walk and daily communion with Him, that a fullness of joy would be experienced in the soul. I've already elaborated on that some, but I won't touch it again. Only by daily communion and a daily walk with the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, that's all that can possibly bring a fullness of joy in your life. Now, you don't have to be full of joy to be saved. But I'm going to tell you why I go second class. It's like somebody told that boy back there the other night, said he was a Calvinistic Methodist. He said, I'm not a Baptist and I'm going to heaven. Somebody said, well, if you're going to heaven, won't you be a Baptist and go first class? Amen. That's right. If I was going, I'd want to go first. Wouldn't you? If I was going to fly on an airplane and had the money, I'd want to go first class. Well, praise God, why go to heaven on a second class ticket when God's already punched a first class seat for you? You trying to scrooge in and get back in the crowd somewhere in the coach area when God's already paid for a first class ticket up front for you. And it's up there where they pull them little curtains shut and wait on you like you're really somebody. I mean, they wait on you like you are somebody up there. Would you like another cup of coffee, Mr. Hall? I believe I would. That's the way. Come on now. They'll bring you booze if you want it. But I tell them, I'm going to heaven. I don't drink liquor. Amen. But you can get up there in the first class area. Come on now. And these words, listen now. These words, I want you to listen. That your joy may be full. Before I say anything else on this, I want to say this right here. You know why some of you do not believe in fullness of joy? It's because you've seen some young emotional idiots make absolute fools out of themselves, and they call that joy. Now, I'm fixing to show you what joy is, and they don't really know what fullness of joy is all about. And you've seen people make fools out of themselves, and therefore you're afraid to come to church and enjoy yourself. Come on in the house. But I'm going to say this. These words that were written, that your joy may be full, were not penned down by some inexperienced, visionary, or youthful dreamer aglow with enthusiasm, which would shortly be dampened by bitter disillusionment. I've seen a lot of them run the aisles, folks. I've seen a lot of them say, boy, I'm happy in Jesus, praise God. I've got the joy. And run the aisle, and 6 months later they done out and shacked up with some other woman. Now I'm telling you, that is not the joy of the Lord. John was not some Johnny-come-lately young buck off of the street. He was an aged man that had been down the road and been down the trail and knew what it was like to live a Christian life. Come on down the house, amen. And he's telling you, I've experienced about all there is, and I'm telling you there is joy that you can have that you've never experienced. Amen. Do you think I'd tell you something wrong intentionally? I heard Doc Sattler Sunday morning, it blessed my heart. I heard him, I couldn't catch the name, but one old boy must have jumped up and said something. Doc Sattler said, help yourself, brother. Throwing some older gentleman in the church. There's a shouting a little at Tabernacle. Praising God a little bit. Dr. Sattler didn't say, now, brother, sit down, that's wrong. He wasn't a young man when he said that either. Right. He was an old man that had been down the trail. He had been through the trials. He had been through the storms. He had been through the hard times. He had seen about everything there was to see. And yet, he's telling people that there is a joy that I want you to have while you're walking with Christ in fellowship with us and with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now, these were words written by a very aged person who was thoroughly acquainted with the dark side of life. John had seen the dark side of life, and and the sins and the sorrows which beset a Christian. He had seen them. All the sins and all the sorrows. I'm telling you, one little thing comes down our path and it knocks us for a loop. And it don't have to hit us very hard because we've already been knocked three quarters of a loop by little trivial things that when we get to heaven, you're going to look back on and say, great day in the morning, why in the world did I let that bother me? Why did I get upset about that? Jesus is my portion. Now, if we had to live all of our life in this world under the sorrow and the sin and the mess, I could understand why we have a dragging lower lip. But ladies and gentlemen, we're not living here all of our life. We're getting ready to go to glory. I'm telling you, things is picking up over in the Middle East. And boy, keep your eyeballs on it. Amen. Keep one eye on the Middle East and the other on the eastern sky because Jesus is coming again. Amen. Somebody said, you've been saying that all this time. Yeah, I know it. They said the same thing to Peter. Peter said the same thing about that crowd. So don't you be caught up like that crowd that had said, oh, you've been saying this for a long, long time. Where is the promise of His coming? Don't you be caught. A gang saying, old Brother Hall, and say, well, Hall's been preaching on His coming for 19 years and He ain't come yet. That's right, but I know one thing, He is a coming again. Praise God, and I've got an eye on the eastern sky and the other on the Middle East. I'm watching what's going on. And I'm telling you, things is a souping up, friends. Assyria, Babylon, is a kicking up her heels. Come on in the house. What do you think's got the world captive right now? Babylon! You say, preacher, you're crazy. Emma, every country in the world is on pins and needles over Iraq. Every nation, including America. And friend, there is a city in Iraq called Babylon. Right. Not to mention that the country was ancient Babylon. Right. Hey, glory. Praise God. Drop an atom bomb on the crowd and we'll all go home. Amen. Leroy said amen. He's ready to go. That's right. Amen. Now, he had seen the dark side of life, the sins and the sorrows, everything beset Christians. And he knew what it was like to walk through much tribulation. According to Acts 14:22, we enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. That's what the Bible says. Come on now, everybody listen now. This joy is a divine grace communicated to and situated in the depths of the soul. It's not a light thing. I'm not talking about what you've seen in here in times past. Boys running the aisle with flags and falling down the middle of the floor and making fools out of themselves. I ain't talking about that. The joy I'm talking about has got its situation in the depths of a man's soul. It's not some surface thing. Praise God. Emotions can be from anybody. But joy cometh from the Lord to God's people.
Yes,
amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Divine grace communicated and sometimes it's in the depths of the soul. And get this, which the storms of this world cannot reach. That includes thunderstorms.
Amen.
Don't worry about them young'uns. Ain't it bothering me? Praise God, let them cry. I'll get louder than they do. The louder they cry, the louder I'll get. Now, I hope you all caught what I said. The joy that John's writing about is in the depths of the soul, and the storms of this life. I'm not talking about thunderstorms now. I'm talking about the storms that we go through cannot touch that joy. It can't disturb it. It is anchored in the depths of the soul. Somebody said, oh, boy, you don't know, preacher. I'm telling you that full joy cannot be disturbed nor distressed by storms and trials of this life. Old Doug Lisa's got to run up here and take showers and baths. If it stayed at home tonight, they could take a shower outside. Somebody say amen right there. Or so, I've done that in Vietnam. Rain come up, boy. Just jaybird it. Put the soap on, put the soap off. Praise God, put your wet clothes back on, go on down the line. I've done it at home as a boy. Now, not jaybirding it. I'm going to skin my hide good. But we didn't have running water. Praise God, it didn't rain. We thought it was a privilege to be able to go outside and take a bath in the rain. Amen. That's good. Invigorating on the life. Amen. It is something which is situated. Get this now. Listen to what I'm telling you. I told you a while ago that it's not enthusiasm and it's not emotion. But the joy that I'm talking about is something that is situated in everyday life and work. Not just in the house of God. If the only time we got any joy, and we got fullness of joy, is when we come to church, we are in bad shape. What John is talking about is that kind of joy that will endure and last and bless and help you in your everyday life. On the job, wherever you might be, whatever you're doing, that joy is always there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, joy will never make a fool out of you. And joy will never embarrass you. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you got to embarrass the flesh. No, you don't. You got to crucify it. There's a big difference. Won't charge you anything for that. It is a calm and serene frame of mind, as well as a happy state of the heart. Did you get a hold of that? The joy he's talking about is a calm and a serene frame of mind. If we just don't let things. I've heard somebody say, man, that just blows my mind. Used to have that stupid song out. I don't know what it meant. They said he blew his nose and then he blew his mind or something like that. One of them idiots. Now, I'm talking about having a peaceful mind as well as a peaceful heart, right, and a joyful mind. I'm talking about singing in the rain. Praise God. I was singing out there a while ago when we're getting in. I was telling Kaylin, hurry up, Kaylin, get in the church. It's raining outside. Grandpa's getting wet. Hallelujah to God. We're just having a good time, though. Far more was implied here than actually expressed in John's language. For where fullness exists, there is a separation from the world. There is a close fellowship with God in Christ. And there is a walking or a treading in wisdom's way. And thus the Lord is honored and His people are happy. That's the only way you can be happy. Is anybody else, anybody listening?
Yes,
sir. I hope somebody is. Fellowship with the Lord is grand, is the grand marvel of redemption. And fullness of joy in the redeemed is the crowning blessing of that redemption. Now, Listen carefully. Psalm 89, 15 and 16. In thy name shall they rejoice. Get this, all the day. Have you rejoiced at all today?
Amen.
He said they'll rejoice all the day. In His name, have you rejoiced at all today? Come on now, help me out.
Amen.
And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Listen to Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. When was the last time you dined and ate some word of God? He said, thy words were found. Praise God, I found some here. He said, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name. Woo! I want to say amen right there. He said, I'm called by your name. Praise God, I'm glad. Hey, I took on the name of Truman Hall when I was born. But I'm telling you, I took on the name of God the second time I got born. I'm His child. I'm His family. I belong to Him. Can anybody understand that? Hallelujah. He said, that's right. He said, I'm having a time. Praise God, I'm called by the name of God. Woo!
Yeah.
Amen! Thank God. To be a child of God. What a blessing. What an honor it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God. To be called by thy name. O Lord God of hosts. Now, if you can get a hold of that, it'll cause you to get happy tonight, too. Psalm 118:24, everybody ought to quote that real quick. For this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the verses above that plainly tell he's talking about Calvary. Have you rejoiced in Calvary today? Had it not been for Mount Calvary.
That's right.
Thank God for Mount Calvary.
Yeah.
Had it not been for the old rugged cross. Had it not been for Jesus. I'd still be in my sins and lost. And I'm telling you, there was a day. And the Lord said, this is the day that the Lord made. Therefore, you ought to rejoice, praise God, and be glad in it. Not only rejoice, get glad a little bit. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to every chance I get. Amen. And by the way, how many in here has been baptized? Everybody raise your hands, been baptized. Been baptized? Well, you know what that eunuch in Acts chapter number 8 done when he got baptized? The Bible said that he went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
When was the last time you seen somebody come up out of that baptistry shouting and he kicking, praise God, and jumping up and down and tearing on? That baptistry didn't save him. But I'm going to tell you what that baptistry did do. It told everybody watching, praise God, I'm dead! But yet I'm alive. Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm buried with Him.
Right.
And I've been raised in a newness of life. Praise God. Anybody in here testify if they got a new life?
Right.
Praise God, I have. You don't believe me? Go back home and ask the folks that used to know me. Amen. Ask my wife. Ask my children. They'll tell you what kind of a new life Daddy's got. That's why I'm rejoicing along the way.
Amen.
Like I said, I don't worship the porcelain God anymore. And you know, well, sometimes when you got the problems. Now, listen carefully. Each of us are discovered. Now that means revealed, manifest. By His complacency or by His displacency. One of the two. Romans 8:5 said, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. There's your complacency. But they, I'll have to find it here. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. You know what? You know what got a hold of me out of that verse today? And I've read that verse, Miss Sharon, I bet you I've read that verse 100 times in my ministry and in my life. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If I can break that down to you in easy terms, I think that's what that verse means. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic, but they that are after the flesh, all the time, after the flesh. Satisfying the flesh. They're after it. They're pursuing it. They're chasing it. But they that are after the Spirit, not after our spirit, but they that are pursuing the Spirit. That's capital letters. Whoop! Whoop! They that are after the Spirit. They that are pursuing the Holy Ghost. If you can get a hold of that, praise God.
Amen.
They that are pursuing the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they that are pursuing the Holy Ghost, the things of God, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Ghost showed me today. That's fresh off the burner. And I like it. And I'm going to preach it until somebody proves me wrong. And I don't believe you can prove it. Let's read it again. They that are after the flesh. Somebody said, well, where'd you go a while ago? I went after a quart of milk. You know what? Went after a quart of milk. Well, what'd you do? Where'd you go? Well, I went after a gallon of gasoline. Well, what do you go after? I went after the flesh. What did you go after? I went after the Spirit.
Right.
Get a hold of it.
Amen.
It's a nugget that will help you if you can get a hold to it. I'm about done. Just bear with me a little bit more. Thus, to be comparatively miserable manifests a Christian to be in a backslidden state and places question much on the genuineness of his profession. I'm telling you, I really mark folks that absolutely show no Christian joy whatsoever in their salvation.
Amen.
Ain't many of us here tonight. And I'm telling you, if you never have joy, you're either one of two things, backslidden or lost. I don't care what your name is. Amen. And get this, a miserable believer is no credit to Christ and has a depressing effect on his brethren. If you think that that's not the truth, ask these folks that sing, ask these men that teach Sunday school, ask these men that stand up here and preach. If it's not much easier to preach to folks that have got some glee about them than it is some folks that's got gloom about them. Ain't that right? Am I telling it right or not? You want me to run that by you again? A miserable believer is no credit to Christ and has a depressing effect on God's people. Amen. Boy, that cut it off. Joy diffuses sunshine over the whole life, supplying vigor for service. It lightens our cares. It prepares us for conflict. It makes obedience a delight. When there is rejoicing of heart in Christ, irksome difficult tasks become pleasant and easy. Boy, I don't like to do that. Oh, praise God. I didn't mind sprinkling lime in bathrooms, mowing the grass, putting spit and shine of some kind on the wooden pews. Me and Miss Hall done all there was to do when we was at Rumsey. When we was in Tucson, that bathroom stopped up in there in that little girl's room. And I said, I looked over the building. It wasn't our church. And I looked all over the building for a plunger and couldn't find one. Miss Hall said, we got to do something. I said, get the kids out here. I just rolled up my sleeves and went down in there after it. Somebody said, did that bother you? That didn't bother me. There's some soap and water there. It didn't bother me. Had to be done. I'm glad I done it. I'm glad I've done it. Amen. It's a childlike faith. Can I don't want to get I don't want to get too off center here now. But over at the house the other day, when Levi and all of them was over, Levi had made a mess and he was there laying in, and he just had it all over his face and in his hands, and he was just smiling, having a good. It didn't bother him. What are you and I? What are you saying, preacher? I'm just simply saying a childlike faith, and I'm not implying that we need to do stuff like that. But I am saying that having joy makes tasks that God's given us to do a delight.
Amen.
Rather than being difficult or being something that we despise in doing. When we call for a work day, call for another work day. Woo! He called for another work day. Hallelujah. Get to be at church again. Amen. Having fun now, ain't we? When there's rejoicing, I've done read that. If we are children of light and day, why is it that we are so gloomy, cast down, and manifest little of that brightness which should mark those who have been given everlasting consolation and hope through grace. And there's a text on that I have not written, failed to write there. Five things real quickly. I won't even mention the subpoints. Five things that really deprive us of joy. Number one, things that deprive us of joy, defective ministry. The preacher can deprive his own people of joy. And I'm going to preach these three little points, just tell you what they are, because they're about me. And I'm going to have to earnestly pray. If we labor too much on worldly wickedness rather than preaching Christ and Him crucified, it can cause gloom instead of joy in our people. If we preach too much on the bad or waning spirituality in the churches, it can cause gloom and doom. Guilty. In both points. Guilty. I confess it to you. I'm guilty. How can I expect you to have joy if all I talk about, and I'm not saying that it don't need to be preached on, but if all I preach on is the Wildcats, and all I preach on is all this perverse mess that's going on in the world with these, and all this stuff these kids, that's all I preach on. If all I done it, now I mentioned it tonight, but if all I ever preached on was dropping the atomic bomb, praise God, we better dig a hole and get in, boys, on the top of the top. There was a man down in Greenville, South Carolina, had people buying kerosene stoves. I'm talking about cooking stoves. When 2000 rolled around, had them buying gasoline and diesel fuel and burying tanks and putting it in the ground and getting ready for the big day. I preached in his church. I'm telling you what I know. And he had to be preaching. I heard him on the radio when we was in Greenville in a meeting one time, and he was preaching on that stuff. And you know, his people had to really be happy. Praise God. Everybody's got faith in Jesus. Go dig a hole in the ground and get in. The bomb's coming. If we believe in Jesus, let the bomb come. Praise God. 10 or 12 of them. It ain't going to bother us. Dwelling on the shortcomings and failures of God's people, if that's all we do, it'll bring gloom and not joy. I want to say, secondly, a defective ministry will deprive us of joy. A lack of definite assurance of salvation. Failing to take God at His word that the death of Christ has canceled all guilt and sin. All of it. Now, if you don't have that assurance that it has, if you're all the time rubbing your hands wondering if what Christ done was sufficient, you've got big problems. You have got to learn to rest in Christ. You've got to learn to trust
Amen.
Christ and rest in Christ. That's right.
Amen.
I'm telling you right.
Yes.
Failing to believe the sufficiency of His divine love. God loves you, church.
Yes. Amen.
More than I do or ever could. God loves you. And He wants you to have the very best in life.
Amen.
And if you walk around all the time worrying about whether God loves you, there's a poor little girl up in Virginia that calls Miss Hall sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. And bless her heart, she's been under a man that told her she couldn't get saved if she sinned at all. She was lost. And I honestly to God, I like to catch that guy in a dark alley because I know him and just beat the absolute living daylight. So he's an absolute moron to preach stuff like that. If we sin, we're lost. He believes in sinless perfection. That poor young'un said a while back she got saved, called right back 3 or 4 weeks later, talking to myself, doubting it all over again. Because of what she's been preached to. Rather than just resting in the divine love of God, the fact that the death of Christ, that's salvation, folks. That is believing unto salvation. Believing that what He done on the cross canceled all guilt and all sin in your life. It's gone. Now, you can't, and here's where people get in trouble. You cannot stop the devil from running those back paths through your mind. But you've got to realize that what Christ done took care of that.
Yep.
All of it. And then rest in the fact that He loves you. He loves you.
Amen.
Then, another thing is an unforgiven spirit, holding grudges. Another thing is a bitter spirit. The last thing is unconfessed sin. You can't have fullness of joy. Do you tell Jesus everything about it?
Right.
How about it tonight? These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And the things that He was talking about there primarily is fellowship with God. Fellowship with Christ in God. You can have full joy that way. Let's stand together.